from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. I am your host, your voice of hope and truth across this great nation, Todd Starnes. Well, it's an interesting 24 hours here in America and in the news cycle. So look, you folks are I know what you're going to do, and I don't want you to do that. I know that many of you are going to be heading for the exit ramp. Don't do that just yet. We've got to talk about this insane change in policy that's coming from the administration, and we're going to have to help the president maneuver through all of this, because right now the president of these great United States is getting some pretty bad advice. And when you look at what's happening around the nation right now, you understand why the president is saying what he's saying. But there is a new survey that's out. And this new survey explains the NBC News interview yesterday, last night, when President Trump admitted that he was the guy responsible for evacuating the 700 federal agents from Minneapolis. And look, make no mistake about it, it was a retreat. And we all said at the time that this would be interpreted in a very bad way. And it is. The president also last night saying that he's wanting to find a kinder, gentler immigration policy, something that's a bit softer. And the president said moving forward, they're not going to go storming into the sanctuary cities, but instead they're only going to go where they're invited. And they have to be asked to come in and lend a helping hand. The president also said last night that he really plans to focus on the really, really bad illegals and not the illegals themselves. So if you're an illegal who murdered somebody, then yeah, you're going to get deported. But if you're an illegal who's here and you're illegal, well, you're not going to be going anywhere. It is a kinder, gentler approach towards immigration that the president is working on. And we're going to play all this audio in just a few moments. I bring your attention to some brand new polling data, and this is why Trump is doing what he's doing. This is from NPR, National Public Welfare Radio. Two-thirds of Americans say ICE has gone too far in immigration enforcement. According to their survey, this is an NPR, PBS News, Marist poll. 65% of Americans said Immigration and Customs Enforcement has gone too far. The president also facing the highest intensity of disapproval since just after the J6 event at the U.S. Capitol. Now, the percentage of those saying ICE had gone too far in enforcing immigration is an 11-point increase since last summer. It's driven by independents and Democrats. Both groups went up by double digits. Trump's overall approval rating remains at 39%, with 56% disapproving, 51% strongly disapproving. That's the highest Marist has seen in its polling since it started asking that question back in 2017. The thing in the numbers that we've experienced, this is coming from the director of the Marist poll, the thing that we've been experiencing is the shift among some of the folks who voted for him, his voting coalition, not necessarily the governing support he has, but the voting coalition. What is that coalition? It's the young people. It's the Latinos. It's the independents. And every single one of those demographics Trump is struggling with in the survey. According to Marist, right now, those groups, they're the ones who are deserting Trump. The president's base, on the other hand, sticking with him on a range of policies that are otherwise unpopular, from ICE's conduct to the job Trump is doing to tariffs and so on and so forth. So anyway, I want to focus, though, here on the immigration issue. Because I told you, as soon as, oh, geez, hello. As soon as the first person got run over, the GOG in the SUV who tried to make the federal agent a hood ornament, Renee Good is her name. Thank you, Renee Good. And I said at the time, just moments after all of this happened, that the administration needed to get a handle on the messaging here. Otherwise, it was going to go south, and it was going to go south very quickly. So not only did no one heed that advice, but things went south. And then we had the second shooting of the male nurse who attacked officers. And then things have spiraled out of control. And now you have young people. And by the way, again, those are the young people they're talking about. The young people have been weaponized by their public schools. And now they're taking to the streets. And they're protesting. And it's causing all sorts of mayhem. And the kids that are protesting have no idea why they're out there. I mean, you've even got in Harlem and a few other places, you've got kindergarten students that are marching picket lines right now. Not very long because they have to take naps and potty breaks. But again, so do the elderly people. So they've all got something in common. But all of this, I mean, is it possible it could have been prevented? Absolutely. And one of the challenges was that Tom Homan, the border czar, got sidelined early on in the process. He got sideways with Christine Ohm and her friend, Corey Lewandowski, and he got pushed to the side. Well, now Homan is back in charge, but it's really too little too late. So here's my question for you, ladies and gentlemen, because decisions are actually being made at this moment, and there are two big ones that we're going to talk about today. This is one of them, and the other is whether or not the filibuster is going to get nuked, and I have some intel on that, that will, here's the deal. Just go and get some Alka-Seltzer, get a big old bottle of just like Tums and start popping them because you're going to get indigestion. Because right now, the administration, they're reading all of this polling data, and they can sense it. And I suspect you can sense it too because I've been sensing it ever since the guy nearly became a hood ornament. The reality here is that the administration is in trouble because they've lost the narrative. And so now Trump is trying to fix this, and the way he's going to fix it is going to lead to what I believe will ultimately become amnesty for the illegals. I don't believe we are going to see millions and millions of illegals being put out of this country. My question for you is this. What do you want the president to do? Do you want the president to double down? Do you want because when you look at all of the polling here, now, separate polls, and again, this question was not asked in the NPR PBS Marist poll, but there is separate polling data out there that says an overwhelming number of Americans want all of the illegals deported, all of them. That's not going to happen. Right now, it is not going to happen. And the president said as much in this NBC News interview with Tom Lummis last night. All right, we're going to play through some audio here from the interview. It's almost an hour long. And Trump seemed to be in good moods about it. Here's the one soundbite I want us to focus on. Cut 16, please.
I have a question about immigration still looking forward now. Your goal during the election was to deport everyone who came here illegally under President Biden. Is your mission now to deport everyone who came in illegally or just people who have come in illegally who have also committed additional crimes?
We are totally focused on criminals, really bad criminals. Now, you could say people that came in illegally are criminals, but I'm talking about murderers from different countries. We have 11,888 murderers that Biden and his group led into our country. We've captured a lot of them. We've brought some of them back. A lot of them we don't want to bring back because we don't trust the country that they're not sent back again.
Yeah.
Despite how strong the borders are, they'll figure a way to try and get in, and we don't want to, and we'll incarcerate them. But 11,888 murderers.
Yeah.
We are after those people. We're after the drug dealers.
Right.
We're after the. We are after. By the way, a big problem. They allowed to come into our country people from their mental institutions, people from insane asylums
yeah.
that are mentally ill and very dangerous. We're getting them
right.
out.
All right. So there you heard it from the president. And it certainly sounds as though this president is now making a slight change in his thinking. And this president is wanting to focus only on the bad of the bad. So if you're out there, and let's say you're an illegal and you've been in the country 20 or 30 years, then you're probably going to be able to stay. You're probably going to be able to get some sort of a work permit. There's going to be something done to make you stay, and it will be amnesty. They're going to call it whatever they're going to call it. They'll come up with a creative name. You know, they're smart folks in the marketing department at the White House, and so they'll come up with a clever name. But it's still going to be amnesty. So the question is very simple, ladies and gentlemen. Do you want the worst of the worst deported? Do you want the folks that have been here and we'll say working at the gas station or working at a hotel? Do those people, should those people be allowed to stay, or does everybody need to go? Now, the polling data up until now has said everybody's got to go. And my question would be, and we're gonna talk to Mike Lawler on the Newsmax show tonight. My question to Mike Lawler, who wants to introduce, he's a liberal on this issue, by the way, and Lawler has introduced something called the Dignity Act. My question is, what about the dignity for all the people waiting in line for years to come here the legal way, and they have done everything by the book? What about those people? Are their immigration statuses going to be expedited, or are they just screwed? Do we just say, you know what? No. You should have come across the border illegally. Now, according to Lawler, this Dignity Act here would prevent illegals prevents illegal hiring and protects American jobs, but it grants legal status and a path to permanent residency for the so-called Dreamers. A 7-year legal status program allowing undocumented immigrants to live and work in the United States legally. And it would update visa categories to align with 21st century economic needs. Well, the problem with the visas, the H-1Bs are being abused beyond human understanding right now. And the Indians are coming in, and they're taking full advantage of that, and they're just taking jobs away from law-abiding American citizens. That's what's going on here. Seems to me we ought to be punishing the companies that are hiring all of these folks. So anyway, we're going to take a break here, but I'm curious to hear from you on this, because there will be some changes coming in the policy. No, I have no doubt about that. So the question is, does everybody need to go? Or do we keep the ones that aren't murdering and raping people? 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. Let me repeat that number. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Losing weight's getting harder and harder as you get older, and it's not your fault. You're eating better, you're moving more, but your body isn't responding anymore. The harder you try, the less progress you see. And I am just like you. I've been dealing with this, and recently I made the call to PhD Weight Loss, and it's changing everything. I've been on the program for a week now, already dropped 3 pounds. Feel better than ever. PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss, and they fix the root cause. And it isn't as simple as counting calories. Your body is much more complicated than that. If you want to understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock our New Year's special. Book your consultation. It's free. It's personalized. And it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900. Or visit myphdweightloss.com. Tell them Todd sent you. All right, welcome back. It is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. And, Yeah, look, I mean, it's not the end of the world at all, and I don't want you to think it is. But this president is a very transactional man. And if he's taking a look at all of the data he's being presented, and they're telling him, Mr. President, the American people are going the other direction on this issue, he's going to go in that direction too. He's not going to be left out there all alone. So the president needs to hear from you. And where do you stand on this issue? All right, let's go to the phone lines, 901-260-5926. Let's start our day in beautiful Dahlonega, Georgia. Anna is on the line. Hi, Anna. What's on your mind today?
Todd, he's going to have to rethink that strategy because that is not what, I'm just speaking from my point of view, that's not what I voted for, And I know that he has good intentions, but hell is paved with good intentions. And I'm telling you that's not going to work. First of all, it muddies the waters too much, and you're going to have people whining and complaining about other things. You got the wrong person. He's really not a criminal. Everybody that came through that, and I might add that Biden is the reason why this is happening. Biden is the reason why this is happening, and that is what our president always reminds us, and he needs to remember that. Because this is not a good plan. I'm not an advisor to the president, but I am a voter. And I can tell you that, personally, I just think this is not doable. Just get the people, and you don't have to be ugly about it. We're paying for them to go on back home, and come back the right way, the legal way. Like all these other poor saps are doing right now, they're listening to this, and they're just scratching their heads. What are we doing? I'm not happy. I'm not happy answering this.
Anna, I will disagree with you on one thing, if that's right. You and I, we've never disagreed over the years, but I've got to disagree with you on one thing, Anna.
Okay.
You say that you're not an advisor, you're a voter. I would contend that you are. You are an advisor, and your vote is just as important as that is. And so I think you do have – I mean, look, your opinion is no more or no less than anyone else's, including the consultants that are being paid to give the president this advice. So I think, again, that the White House needs to start listening to folks like you, Anna, and not these highfalutin, well-paid lobbyists and advisors inside the Beltway. Anna, God bless you, and thank you for listening. All right, here's what we're going to do, because I do want to hear from all of you, and we've got a few lines open. We're going to go right to your calls here coming up, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. But let me just say this. The president right now is in a bubble. He's not out there hearing from all of you. He's inside that White House. And the people inside, they're the ones that are reading the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal editorial board. They're listening to, and I know they shouldn't be doing it, but they are. They're listening to NPR, and they're watching PBS and CNN and PMS Now. And the squawking magpies with testosterone on The View, they're watching all of that, and it influences the advice they're giving to President Trump. And it should not be that way, but that is the reality of it. So, ladies and gentlemen, is this what you voted for? Do you want the president to back off, or does everybody need to go and come back the legal way? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hello. Health insurance rates in America are surging, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another up in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, if you are looking for a great cell phone company, may I strongly recommend my phone company, Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Use my promo code and you're going to get a free month of service. That promo code is my first name, Todd. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. All right, let's go to the phones, and we have a full line, so keep calling if you're getting a busy signal. Let's go to Virginia. And we have Jason with us, who is listening to us on our brand new affiliate, WTON. And Jason, you are the very first caller from WTON. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Well, Jason, before I forget, don't hang up at the end of the conversation. I want to send you a copy of my book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing America. So we just want to say welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well. So, what's going on here? I know President Trump's getting a little wobbly. What advice do you have for the president?
He needs to stay firm. There's 78 million of us that want them all gone. We don't want to capitulate to the radicals. No matter what he does, they're going to scream and pitch a fit and claim their hair is on fire. He needs to just bite his lower lip and tough it out, and let's get it done.
I mean, when you look at the polling data, I mean, it's pretty clear to me that the American people want all of the illegals, all of them, to go back to where they came from.
It's an 80-20 issue as far as I know.
No, that's about right. And, of course, in Virginia, you guys have your own set of problems with this radical takeover of the Democrats. And I think that should serve as an example to the rest of the nation. You know, if we do not get control of the voting, and that's another big issue we're about to talk about, but if we don't get control of this and stop these illegals from voting in our elections, we're going to lose the republic.
I 100% concur with you. It's out of hand. I've worked in construction most of my adult life, and I've seen them take jobs, drive down wages. They suck up benefits. You can't get to the emergency room. They need to go.
Well said. All right, Jason, thank you for calling in, sir. And hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We're going to send you a copy of my book. And welcome to the show. Want to welcome all of our WTON listeners. And when you call in this week, as a way of saying welcome to the show, we're going to hook you up with a little Todd Stearns Show prize package. All right, let's go to Rodney in Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hey, Rodney, what's going on?
Hello, Todd. I listen every day. It's the first time I've ever called in, but I know that the president himself listens to the Todd Stearns Show, and you said earlier that, he wasn't going to necessarily come and send his agents unless he was invited. And, Mr. President, if you're listening, please come to Harris County, Texas. We are being overrun by crime and illegal aliens here. We need your help. So I'm asking you, Mr. President, would you please come to Harris County, Texas?
Rodney, this is a very smart thing you just did, because the president did say, if I'm invited, and Dylan, it sounds like Rodney said, Mr. President, you are invited.
He said, please.
And you said, please, too, right? Because he's from the southwest, so you're going to be polite. His mama taught him manners. Rodney, I love this. And, you know, again, I think the American people are watching what's going on in Washington right now. And it concerns me, because we could see the base of our party demoralized. If we're not careful, we could see the party demoralized.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, Rodney, thank you. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, thank you very much, Rodney, for calling in. Appreciate that, and we love all of our listeners in Harris County. Let's go to Daniel in Atlanta. Hi, Daniel. What's on your mind today?
Hey, I think it's the same thing, immigration. Like I think I've called you before. I've been here for 30 years. I'm a single-issue voter at this time, and I've voted for Trump all the time he's run. And I'm telling you, Todd, if he starts doing this crap, I'm not going to vote in the Republican election anytime soon. So I'm 100% sure of that. I'm not even going to mess around.
Daniel, this is the hill to die on for you.
Yes, believe me. Because you know why, Todd? I'm an immigrant, too. And this last set of immigrants that came into this country through Biden, they have no love, they have no concern, they have nothing for this country. They're just coming to loot and take whatever they can get. So can you imagine him going soft and all this? You know what's going to happen, Todd. If they ever win the election the next time around, they're going to legalize everyone in this country. So what's the purpose? J.D. Vance should forget his job. Republicans should forget, and these guys are just here to loot this country. You know, why would you come into a country, the first thing you're looking for is a handout? I came here about 30 years ago. I was so happy to come into this country, and I've done my best part. I've had a business. I've started all kinds of things. But these guys, they show up, the first thing they're looking for is handouts. So I don't get it. Trump better rethink this real fast, because I'm going to start from these midterms, and I'm not going to vote.
Daniel, I want to ask you a couple of questions. So you've been here, how long? You said 30 years?
Yes, 30 years.
30 years. Where did you migrate from? Where did you come from?
From Nigeria and West Africa.
All right. So you come to this country, and you're a legal citizen. You're a businessman now. And I'm curious, in your circle of friends there in the Atlanta area, are there other people that came to this country? Are there other immigrants?
Yes.
What do they say? When you guys are together, what do they say about all of the illegals that have invaded our country and breached our borders?
And that is the sad part, because I stuck my neck out, myself and my wife. We stuck our necks out for this president. They all think the country is a big joke. They think anybody should be able to come in here. Trump is the worst thing since Satan, you know, since Nazi, whatever. But they all think everybody should have an opportunity to come in here, you know. And I keep telling them, believe me, the more they come in, the country is going to turn to from wherever they came from. And that's what you're seeing in Minnesota. If Somalians are very corrupt people, which I am sure New York Times said, oh, that's the only thing they know is corruption. Of course, that's all you will do. And America probably, even with Trump is just giving America maybe 4, 5, 6 years. I'm telling you, Todd, this country is going to end up being like wherever all of us came from. Wherever we're running away from, I guarantee you in another 25, 30 years, America will be like where we all ran away from unless something is done.
Daniel, I'm afraid you're right about that. I sure am. Well, God bless you, sir, and God bless your family. And we're so proud that you chose our country to come and live and create a business. And Daniel, you keep listening and you give us a holler back one of these days. I like Daniel. And he's the kind of immigrant. You know, just like my great-grandparents came to this country. They immigrated to this country. And they learned the language. They went to work. My grandfather joined the military. They assimilated. And we're just not seeing that happen. But here's the other part of it that concerns me, is that the left, they see this, and they know how to push this president's buttons now. They know that if they get out there and they write, you know, the president talks a softer touch, what does that mean? Are we just going to stand there and let them beat the hell out of our ICE agents? No, of course not. The ICE agents haven't done anything wrong. The federal agents haven't done a thing wrong. They're being spit on. They're being beaten. They're being terrorized. Their families are being doxxed, and we're going to go soft? No, not at all. That is the wrong message to send. So we've got to be careful, or we're going to lose the entire narrative here. And this idea that we're just going to, the president, by the way, the president, day one, he was going to start defunding and go to war with the sanctuary cities. And now we're going to ask their permission to come in. No, that's not what we voted for, Mr. President. And the president needs to know that we've got his back. All these other folks, they're backstabbers. That's what they're doing. They're stabbing the president in the back. All right, let's go to Bruce in Buford, Georgia. Bruce, I understand you have a suggestion for the illegals.
Yes, but you took a little bit of, you took a lot of what I was going to say out in your just your last comment, that they have come here. They are illegals. I don't care. Bad crimes, how many years they've been here. Here's my solution. You've been here 20 years, 15 years. You were a dreamer. You came over. You were a young kid, and now you're a teenager in your early 20s. My first question is, in all that time, what have you done to make yourself legal? That's the first thing. And second thing, even if they haven't committed a crime, if they go up to their home and they're here illegally, if they cannot speak English, they have done nothing to learn the language or to assimilate, they're out of here. Period. No exceptions. That's the test. They interview these people. Senators interview them. A lady owns three Mexican restaurants, been here 20 years, and she can't communicate in English. Not acceptable. Period. If you can't speak the language and you've done nothing to assimilate, even if you haven't done a crime, go out. Come back in. You want to be a part of this country.
I think that's a great idea, Bruce. You know, here's what gets me, and Bruce, thank you for that call. Here's what gets me is that you've got the Democrats, and they're up in Capitol Hill, talking about what a horrible xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic country we are. We got racists running around, black people, Jasmine Crockett, black people getting lynched every day in the Deep South. It's like we're back. Everybody's a Nazi. All the white people, you know, are Nazis. You know, at some point, should we just not tell the illegals, hey, you may not want to come here? I mean, who wants to live next door to a Nazi, right? Unbelievable. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up tonight on Newsmax, we're going to have a jam-packed show. We've got panels breaking down the conversation that we're having right now on the radio. Also, the very latest on the search for Savannah Guthrie's mother and what a terrible situation that is. We'll talk more about that in the next hour. Millions of people, by the way, are watching Newsmax, and I hope you are too. On cable or the streaming channel, Newsmax 2, which is free of charge. You can watch it on YouTube, on your website, on Newsmax.com. And, of course, you can also download the free Newsmax app on your smartphone. Reuters Institute says we're one of the top news brands in the nation. So find out why. Find out why we're the fastest-growing news channel. Make the switch today. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. Takes just seconds to start. And let President Trump know you stand with Newsmax as well. For real news, for real people.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right. Tomorrow, after the show, on the road to Nashville, getting ready for the Young Americas Foundation National Freedom Fest Conference. Michael Knowles, Tim Burchett, yours truly is going to be there. I'll be one of the keynote speakers. We're going to be doing a book signing as well. Hundreds of college students from around the nation. Certainly hope you guys will be praying for us as we encourage these young people and just great American patriots. Remember Grace Baker, Dylan? We all know Grace.
Of course, of course.
So Grace was my very first executive producer, the very first hire I made when I moved back to Memphis. And I met her at a Young Americas Foundation conference in Nashville. I said, hey, I'm hiring for the radio station, and we need some employees. And she came running up and said, I'm your gal.
And then she got a dog, and the dog became more famous than all of us.
Merlo. Merlo ate the MyPillow bed. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
The doggy bed? It was tasty, apparently. No, it's Merlo is a Dalmatian, has its own Instagram page,
yep,
and apparently is very popular in the, it's doing like the dog Olympics, whatever they call that.
Yeah, very fast, very agile. It's a cool thing.
Best in show.
Yep.
Let's go to the phone lines and say hello to Charles in Statesville, North Carolina. Charles, what do you make of the president's interview last night?
Got to be honest with you, I'm furious. I don't agree with what President Trump said. And I don't know who he's listening to or who's advising him, but they're giving him horrible advice because this is my take. If he doesn't follow through on the deportation of all these illegals like he promised in 2024, if he caves in on backing ICE and all that, to me, that is the equivalent of George Washington in the Revolutionary War signing a peace agreement with the British without gaining independence to the United States. If he does that, I think he's going to lose the midterms. I think you're going to see several members of his cabinet resign. And if he loses the midterms and is later impeached, whether it's in two or how many years, I think he's going to go back to prison, and he'll be signing his own death warrant. So I don't think God saved him from assassination, a year and a half ago, for him to cave in on something like this. The reason I voted for Donald Trump, one of the main reasons, is because of his stance on illegal immigration. And if he reneges on that, I will look at that as a sign of total betrayal.
It's harsh. Your assessment is harsh, but I can't find anything. I disagree with that. And again, I think the president's getting bad advice from whoever his inner circle is. And he's getting really bad advice from Republican leadership on Capitol Hill. And I know a lot of it is coming from there because you've got these rhino Republicans, and they are determined to protect the so-called dreamers, Charles.
But Todd, I think when you look at these poll numbers, you can read a lot into these polls, but I think a lot of that support that he's losing is among his own base because he's not following through hard enough. If Republicans like myself just sense that or see that, hey, it was just all a bunch of hot air, and when the going gets tough, and and the optics of it, aren't pretty, that you're going to cave in. They're just going to stay home and not vote in 2026. I don't think they're going to vote for the Democrat, but
I'll give you one other example. Let me give you one other example, real quick, Charles. The reality is, our nation's education system. You are now watching it being weaponized. In real time, we're watching our education system be weaponized with little kindergartners marching picket lines. Donald Trump promised to defund and dismantle the Department of Education. They never followed through. You've got schools that are openly defying the executive orders on transgenderism, and they know they're able to do this because there will never be a consequence. Nobody's lost their federal funding.
Yeah, that's right. What happened to that, Todd?
Yeah.
I mean, that was like a no-brainer. Remember, he was up there signing an executive order, and,
yeah,
Catherine McMahon, Secretary McMahon, was going to, oversee the dismantling of that agency. None of that has happened, and the Republican members of Congress are still voting and just voted for money to fund the Department of Education and all these sanctuaries.
That's it. All right, Charles, I got to leave it there, my friend. We are up against a hard break. Folks, don't go anywhere. If you're online, we're going to get to your calls. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Oh.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt, but that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven, faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost, biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
All right. Yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, hour two of the big show. Good to have you with us today. Wow, we've got a lot going on. We are monitoring the White House press briefing. Caroline Levitt conducting that. We'll let you know if anything big transpires. Also, we're waiting for an update on the search for Nancy Guthrie. We will keep you updated. The police are about to make an announcement on that in just a little while. And, of course, we're taking your calls, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Now, someone just texted me in the break. So, Starnes, there's no way you misunderstood what Trump was saying to NBC News. Or if you're on Howard Stern's show, WNBC. But no, I am not confused. I want to play another sound clip from the interview last night, President Trump on NBC. And he was talking about going into the sanctuary cities. Cut number five.
So I want to be clear, because it sounds like there is a shift in immigration enforcement here, that there's going to be a shift after Minneapolis. What should Americans expect going forward?
Well, one thing I say to my people, you know, we do a good job, we don't get credit for it. I say they have to ask and they have to say please. When a city is
going to... Who has to ask and who has to say please?
The mayor or the governor. I don't want to go and force ourselves into a city, even if their numbers are terrible. Like, for instance, I got a call from Jeff Landry, governor of Louisiana. He said, we have a big problem. Could you go in and help us with certain sections. I mean, to be honest with you, certain sections of the state beyond their famous, beautiful city, certain sections of the state. We have done, not only in New Orleans, we've done a really great job in Louisiana, but I was called. I want to be called. Chicago, we could solve the Chicago crime.
Well, on that question, which cities are you headed to next?
We have five cities that we're looking at very strongly, but we want to be invited. We will sometimes call the governors.
Are these cities like Chicago, Philadelphia? Are these the cities?
We could straighten out the crime in Chicago. We've already brought it down 25% just by being there. We could have Chicago be a safe city, just like D.C. is a safe city, just like all of these places that we've gone to. And I look forward. You know, I didn't campaign on that.
Yeah.
I campaigned on law and order, but I didn't think I'd be going into individual cities and making them safe.
Anything else you can tell us about the five cities? The five cities, anything else? So Americans are ready?
We'll be announcing them very quickly, but we could do something. As an example, I was called by people. San Francisco said, please, we have a Democrat mayor. He's trying very hard. Would you, friends of mine that live there, it's got crime problems. Would you let him do the job and not come in? Let's see how it works. I said, look, I can do it much quicker, much faster. Don't forget, we remove criminals. We took over 2,000 hardcore criminals out of Washington, D.C. Yeah. If we didn't do that, 2% of the people create 90% of the crime. Think of that. 2%. So you have a criminal because they... It's over and over again. 2% create 90% of the crime. We took out 2,000 people, more than 2,000 people out of Washington, D.C., and we now have a safe city.
All right. That was the president last night on NBC News. And that is, it's really a political earthquake, I think, for the America First movement, because clearly the president is having second thoughts about his hardline immigration policies. And so we're going to be taking your calls a little bit later on. Hang tight. We're going to get to your calls, 901-260-5926. Again, that's 901-260-5926. Well, I want to go to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Tim Phillips, Director of Global Affairs at Nest Point. Tim, hope you're doing well today.
Hi, Todd. It's been a great morning at the National Prayer Breakfast, where President Trump gave just an amazing speech this morning, Todd. So inspiring, so funny. It was a vintage Trump performance this morning here.
Well, he certainly seems to be in good spirits, you know, after, you know, the NBC News interview. What was the mood there in the room? Those prayer breakfasts are always popular with the president.
They were. Well over probably 1,500 people. It was a packed house in the main ballroom of the Hilton. And he was, Todd, he was in a great mood. You could see it. He was jovial. He was talking about how it's a new day in the United States, and he focused on the economy, which he needs to be doing, I think. And he also talked about how combating persecution of Christians that's going on around the world. I know you've covered it before, Todd, but especially in Nigeria, parts of Africa, and the Middle East, he highlighted a lot of the administration's efforts to combat it. And it was obviously well received by the faith based folks that were there, of which you and I are both a part of.
You know, I thought it was interesting. I know Michael W. Smith was there. He's been very popular among Republican presidents going back to George H. W. Bush. But also, I thought this was interesting. Jelly Roll was there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you caught any of his remarks at the Grammy Awards, but man, he preached a sermon during his acceptance speech.
Jelly Roll has clearly had a conversion to Jesus, no doubt about that. It's beautiful. He ended up having to cancel here. You're exactly right. He was scheduled to be the keynote, and so Governor Bill Lee, the Tennessee governor, came and spoke on his behalf. But I didn't know this, Todd, but Governor Lee met and pardoned Jelly Roll. He met him when he was in prison. When Jelly Roll was in prison, back in the early 2000s, Governor Lee was doing, he wasn't a politician, he was doing prison ministry, going into the prisons and sharing the gospel and helping men get ready for their life after prison. He met Jelly Roll then, Todd, and so he told the story of Jelly Roll, his conversion to Christ, and it really was a beautiful conclusion to the prayer breakfast today. Was Governor Bill Lee of Tennessee telling part of Jelly Roll's story of coming to belief in Jesus from prison.
You know, Tim, and by the way, folks, we're talking to Tim Phillips from Nest Point. This prayer breakfast was actually started by President Eisenhower back in 1953. And Eisenhower, and people don't realize this, but Eisenhower was the president who really set the stage for talking about and making it okay to talk about faith in the public marketplace. Eisenhower knew that Christianity was going to be key to fighting the communist and the battle of the communist. And during his two terms in office, church attendance in America actually went up by 20%. And I see similarities with what's happening right now with President Trump.
I do see that. You know, he is not a conventional believer, but I do believe he's a follower, a Christian. I do. He's different. It's not a conventional walk and way. But I'll tell you a story this morning. I was talking to an ambassador. I don't think she'll mind me telling, but she's from Uganda. And she's the ambassador from Uganda, Lake Victoria, obviously, that is the famous place there. And they're a Christian, very strong evangelical Christian country. They have one of the highest percentages of their citizens, around 85% are Christians. And she said during the Biden administration, because they would not acknowledge and recognize gay marriage, and other transgender stuff, they were utterly persona non grata. So as a country, we did not reach out to places like Uganda, which have critical and rare earth minerals, which are important for defense alliances. Oh, also, by the way, for protecting Christians elsewhere in Africa where they're Muslim countries that do persecute Christians. They didn't have any connection with the United States because they're Christians. And Todd, they wouldn't acknowledge or accept officially gay marriage and some of the other transgender stuff. How crazy is that to set policy based on such things as a leftist view?
It's, you know, it's an amazing thing we're watching, and a lot of it doesn't make sense in Washington, D.C. these days. But I can tell you that when it comes to people of faith under attack, this president does have a passion for helping those kinds of folks. And I think watching what's happening in places like Iran, where you've got people that are literally putting their lives on the line and in many cases losing their lives to be free, that is stirring something in the president's heart.
It is. There's no question about that. Secretary Pete Hegseth was also there here. He read a passage of scripture and then spoke briefly about that. And he did a great job. And those were the two administration leaders who spoke, the president himself and then Secretary Hegseth. And obviously he's a devout evangelical Christian. He and his wife Jenny as well. So it was an uplifting morning, Todd. You would have loved being there. I know you've been to them in the past, but it was a 3-hour extravaganza. The congressman who was wrapping it up said, "This has almost become a luncheon," though we started at 7:30. But it was a beautiful morning. The president's remarks were excellent, hilarious, by the way. So many funny. He told the story of General Raising Cain, how he first met him during the first term. He was in Iraq to find out why the war against ISIS wasn't going faster. You know, why we weren't eliminating them faster. And why he called them his TV generals, Milley, and which they were TV generals, while they were saying we just couldn't get it done. And that's where he told the story of meeting General Raising Cain, as he's called, who is Joint Chiefs of Staff under the president Hegseth. So it was a vintage performance, a very uplifting morning, and it was good to see so many members of Congress, a lot of Republican House and Senate folks were there. They had the congressional flyer. There is one, Todd, which I did not know.
Oh.
They had the congressional flyer, and they did I Saw the Light by Hank Williams, Sr., which is my dad and mom would have been very happy and proud about that. But that was the music, along with Michael W. Smith. He did two of his big hits, but they then did I Saw the Light, the congressional choir. So what a great morning.
Wow. That's what an encouraging thing. Well, Tim, we do appreciate you dropping by and giving us a blow-by-blow of the prayer breakfast. Wish we could be there. I've been in that room many, many times, and it is a special thing to see. But I didn't realize we had a choir. Do we know who was in the choir, like Jasmine Crockett or Maxine Waters or
Kat
Kamick?
No, I did not see any of the... Something tells me, Todd, they were not singing all 5 verses of I Saw the Light by heart. I doubt it.
Okay, we'll leave it.
I doubt it.
We'll leave it there. All right. Tim, always good talking to you, my friend.
You got it. Bye.
All right. Tim Phillips, Director of Global Affairs at Nest Point at the National Prayer Breakfast. I guess we should have named him our correspondent to the National Prayer Breakfast, and we'll try to find some of that audio from the congressional choir. Who would have thought? I wonder who was in it. We got to figure out who was Ben Dieter there. Dylan, you know, Dieter has a very nice singing voice.
He does, and he never told us all the time that he worked here, he never told us. We had to look it up ourselves.
Maybe he was the soloist. All right, we're going to find out.
Please.
All right, 901-260-5926. Got to take a break. Your calls coming up next.
Health insurance rates in America are surging, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another up in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
I saw the light, no more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow is mine.
What is that?
I saw the light, just like the blind man, I wandered along.
Oh, wait a second, this is the congressional choir. Okay, we're good. We're good. No, thank you. Here's.
You sure you don't want to hear all of it?
I'm pretty good there. Thank you. So it was just the guitar strumming along. By the way, that was not even, you know, here in Memphis, we're blessed with great guitar players, and there's no strumming in Memphis. You're picking that guitar, right?
This is true. Yeah.
And I sent you another rendition of I Saw the Light. We may have to play that. But. Here's what got me, Dylan. Only one person was clapping, right? Did you hear that?
Maybe it's not a group of rhythm here. You know,
I saw the light. I saw the...
At least it was in time. That's all you can really say.
I think Tim Phillips may have oversold the performance. That's. I was thinking some angelic choir.
Yeah.
I didn't realize it was the Mayberry Church Choir, which there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, I don't know. I was just expecting something. It was, Maxine was not in that crowd. I'm just kidding. Jasmine definitely wasn't. Oh, boy. Okay. So there you have it. The congressional prayer breakfast choir. Ben Dieter was not in the, he was not there. By the way, Dylan, I texted Dieter.
Yeah, we probably would have heard him, actually. He can project his voice.
Yeah, yeah. So. He said something very unchurch-like in his response, so. I just say it.
He's a musically gifted guy. He knows when it's not as up to par as it could be.
This is true. Do we have here's what I thought we were going to hear. Come on now. Oh, glory.
Hallelujah.
I was one aimless sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in.
Sing it, Padilla.
If Jesus came like a stranger in the night, praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light.
I saw the light.
I saw the light.
I saw the light.
No more in darkness.
No more in darkness.
No more in light. Now I'm so happy. No sorrow inside.
All right, that's kind of what I was thinking it was going to be.
Wow.
And instead we got, can we hear it one more time?
Hold on. I almost deleted it because not
it's that bad.
For any reason.
No, it's not bad. It's...
Just missing a little bit of flavor.
Maybe we need some drums.
Yeah, drums are probably.
A bass.
Piano.
New singers. Okay, thank you. I'm going to hell now because of that.
Many more prayer lists.
I know. I've just got put on prayer list again.
Absolutely.
It's like three shows in a row. I'm a really bad guy today. Jeez-a-loo. All right. When we come back, hang tight. We're going to get to your phone calls. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in on President Trump and the... I'm sorry, Dylan, and his immigration policies. If you want to weigh in on the choir too, they were just a little pitchy. I mean, if you're doing American Idol, you know that's you know what they ought to do. They should make an appearance on America's Got Talent. Is that the one with Simon Cowell?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. And the others. I haven't watched that in ages.
They might get the red buzzer. I don't know. It might not go well.
No, they don't red buzz Jesus.
That's true.
They do not do that.
Yeah, they're very nice in that way.
Yeah, yeah. They don't want to get hit by lightning. All right, hang tight, everybody. We got to take a break. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back.
Health insurance rates in America are surging, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another up in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, we've been monitoring this press briefing out of Tucson, Arizona. The FBI now involved President Trump going full bore into the investigation. The FBI just announcing a $50,000 reward for information leading to Nancy Guthrie, and they are also investigating a full digital footprint, but there's no suspect, and there's no person of interest. Of course, all three of the major networks are broadcasting the press conference right now. She's been missing for at least 6 days. They cannot recover video from the camera. Apparently, there was a video camera there. And we understand Kash Patel is boots on the ground. The latest information, at 2:12 a.m., software detected a person on camera at Nancy Guthrie's home, but unfortunately no access to video because there was no subscription. Jeez, Alou. What a mess that is. Let's bring in to the conversation our good friend Luke Symbol, a Republican strategist. Luke, good to have you with us.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you for having me.
You know, it's interesting. President Trump yesterday announced that he was calling on the entire force of the federal government, as far as law enforcement, to get to Tucson to try to help find Savannah Guthrie's mom.
You know, this goes to Trump's heart. He, you know, he has a tough exterior, and he's a tough guy. He moves things along. He has high expectations. He doesn't sleep, but he has a soft spot on his heart for things like this. And to have, Savannah Guthrie, I don't watch the show, but she's well known by many, many, many Americans. It's a nightmare scenario, literally worst nightmare for so many people, to have your elderly parent apparently abducted, missing. For the full weight of the federal government to be sent to find Savannah Guthrie's mom, I think just shows how much he cares, and I think it's good. And this was a high profile case, and what it will do is it'll show off the FBI's ability to find this person. And I hope that it is done very quickly, and that the FBI shines here, and that the entire world can know you don't mess around with Americans.
So yeah, I hope they got Kash Patel an FBI jacket in his size, so they don't have to pull one off a female agent
with the emblem.
Gotta have the emblems.
Well, he can do a podcast with his girlfriend in Nashville, and maybe we can learn more about his jacket and
unbelievable. If I were them, I'm like, you know, we're good. No need. Yeah, just let him stay in D.C. NBC News. I just want you guys to understand this. We're going to go back to 20. What was it? Just a couple of years ago. This was Savannah Guthrie and Donald Trump. Take a listen to Cut 16.
Right. While we're denouncing, let me ask you about QAnon. It is this theory that Democrats are a satanic pedophile ring and that you are the savior of that. Now, can you just once and for all state that that is completely not true, so, and that disavow QAnon in its entirety?
I know nothing about QAnon.
I just told you.
I know very little. You told me, but what you tell me doesn't necessarily make it fact. I hate to say that. I know nothing about it. I do know they are very much against pedophilia. They fight it very hard. But I know nothing about
it. They believe
it
is a satanic cult run by the deep state.
Study the subject. I'll tell you what I do know about. I know about Antifa, and I know about the radical left, and I know how violent they are and how vicious they are, and I know how they're burning down cities run by Democrats, not run by Republicans.
Republican Senator Ben Sasse said, quote, QAnon is nuts, and real leaders call conspiracy theories conspiracy theories.
He may be
Why not just say it's crazy and not true?
He may be right. I just don't know about QAnon.
You do know.
I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know.
Let me ask you another thing.
Let's waste a whole show. You start off with white supremacy. I denounce it. You start off with something else. Let's go. Keep asking me these questions.
Okay. Let me just
tell you what I do hear about it is they are very strongly against pedophilia. And I agree with that. I mean, I do agree with that. And I agree
but
with it.
But there's not a satanic pedophile.
I have no idea. I know
you
nothing
don't
about
know that. That? Okay.
No, I don't know
you
that.
Just
and neither,
this
and
week.
Do you know that?
Okay.
All right. So that's, look, again, she did not like Donald Trump at all. And so that's, and it's just bad blood. And yet President Trump, you know, when there's something on the line, the president pushes all of that aside and says, you know what, we got to do the right thing here, which is to go find Mrs. Guthrie.
I agree. It credit to Donald Trump for doing this. I'm sure she is very appreciative. And honestly, that interview, I forgot that she had done that interview. She is not known. I don't want to speak ill of somebody who's going through a terrible time. I will just very briefly say she's not known for being super nice on set.
That's fine. You know, and I get that. And, you know, and a lot of people are now saying, and this is fair, and I've already made fun of the Congressional Prayer Breakfast Choir sounding like Mayberry, so I'm already going to you know where in a handbasket. But people are wondering why this particular case. Are only the rich and famous, are they the only ones that are eligible for the full force of the federal, you know, government to come down and find your missing loved one? Because there, you know, honestly, are a lot of missing loved ones out there. And I don't want to dwell on this too much, but I think it's a fair question. In the journalism business, we call it gallows humor. You know, when you're covering death and crime and evil, you just have to tell some pretty awful jokes to get through it.
Mm.
But one of them is, if you ever get kidnapped, you want to be a hot blonde because otherwise nobody's going to come looking for you. And it's true. On cable TV, you know, unless you're very famous or you're a fashion model, they're not going to give you the time of day.
Look, it's a fair point. If I put my spin doctor hat on, if I am Caroline Leavitt and I am standing at the press podium, what I would say is this is a very high-profile case that has made national news and captured the country's attention. And because of that, we are going to show off what the FBI can do, and they are going to bring whoever did this to justice, and we're going to find her. That's what I would say.
And
as
whoever,
a spin doctor.
Yeah, whoever it is, they need to get whatever's coming at them, you know, the full force of the law. But this is Tucson, Arizona. This is just a stone's throw from you know where. And Luke, we don't know. We have no idea. But if it was, in fact, an illegal or, you know, these cartels coming across the border that did this, the question is, how's the media going to cover that?
Tucson has had a major problem with crime because of the illegal immigrant crisis and the cartels. And that, Todd, that was exactly where my first thought went to. This is what Tucson is kind of known for.
Yeah.
And I don't know, was she targeted because of who her daughter is, or was it random? We have no idea. But they have a major problem there. And regardless of who it is, the full weight of the federal government, the prosecutions need to happen, and she needs to be found. And I'm praying that they find her quickly. And again, I would love for this to be a huge victory nationwide for what the FBI can do. And the sooner they can catch whoever did this, the better.
And I know the president's not looking for anything here. He's doing the right thing. He's being a decent human being in his statement and the orders he gave law enforcement. I'm fairly disappointed that the rest of the media world is not covering that part of the story.
Of course.
You know, but it's not unexpected.
It's par for the course. It's so frustrating. Luckily, I think more and more people are seeing through it. but it's disingenuous and it's just disgusting that they cannot, their Trump derangement syndrome is so strong that they just cannot bring themselves to post something nice. They'll post all day. If they don't like what Donald Trump has to say, they'll post it all day, every day. But if it's nice, nope.
I want to play some audio from a Mississippi senator. One of the things that really surprised me moving back here to the Mid-South is that the senators in Mississippi and Arkansas are rhinos.
Yeah.
I mean, they are like, they're just this side of being a Democrat.
Yep.
And Cindy Hyde-Smith, mishyphenated last name there, had this to say about, I want you to listen to cut number three, please.
Hello. I have received many questions about why I did not vote for the Rand Paul Amendment to eliminate funding for the Health and Human Services Office of Refugee and Resettlement. The answer is easy. The answer is clear. I oppose the amendment because President Trump made it clear to me that this funding is necessary to care for the thousands of unaccompanied alien children who are already in federal custody, some as young as 3 years old. Under current law, the administration remains responsible for these children. Eliminating the office tasked with their care without any alternative in place would have been totally inhumane. These are children. I am going to take care of children who have been abandoned until they are properly placed, and I don't care what country they come from. That's exactly what Health and Human Services is tasked to do. Appropriating the funds requested by President Trump was a responsible thing to do. It ensured continuity of care, upheld our legal obligations, and supported the Trump administration's efforts to address and clean up the consequences of Biden's administration's border and immigration failures. A vote for the Rand Paul Amendment was a vote against President Trump's ability to fix this mess. This vote also highlights a broader problem in Washington. Some of my colleagues knew the amendments would fail, but supported it anyway to avoid criticism or uncomfortable questions. That is preferring political cover over governing. I'm not afraid of difficult votes when they are necessary to keep the government functioning as it should. I've always been totally transparent and upfront with you, my constituents. There are also those who prefer showmanship over solutions, who offer controversial proposals for attention rather than results. That may generate headlines, but it does not solve problems.
Okay. I don't care. I don't care what country they come from. That's the sound. That's the nugget.
Yep. That's the nugget. And, you know, if you're explaining, you're losing. That's a time old. That's a proven adage. And if you're explaining, you're losing.
Here's the thing about this. I find her explanation somewhat dubious, because I would have been shouting that, you know, if it's all about the kids, I would have been shouting that from day one.
Exactly. This is after the fact, not before the fact. And she could have been saying this for days, for a long time. And you pointing out the timeline here is very important.
What gets me about this, and I shared this this story several years back. When I was working at Fox, they sent me down to cover the borders. There was a border surge when Obama was president, and they were just dumping kids,
yep,
just kids across the border. So they had to create. They took over a military base near San Antonio, and they turned it into, you know, this basically this school for children. And they had three hot meals a day, new clothes, new shoes, medical care, whatever they needed. Immediately outside of this facility was a rundown trailer park where you had American boys and girls playing in the dirt, no shoes on, no food, nothing. And that's what bothers me, because Cindy Hyde-Smith is saying the children of the illegals, they deserve everything. American children deserve nothing.
You are exactly right. What I would do when a child is dumped at the border, and this is hard for Americans to comprehend, because we are a moral country. We cannot imagine parents or family members abandoning children, but unfortunately in other cultures, it's common. In other cultures, children are literally sold into slavery. It's disgusting. And what I would do when they are dumped at the border, figure out where they're from and take them back to that country and say, this is your responsibility. Your citizens did this, and our money is allocated towards America's poor. We need to take care of our own first, and they are not being taken care of. We take care of our own first.
I just want to know what's going on in Mississippi. Are the people, are the Republicans there that liberal? I mean, how do you, because both of their senators are like that.
Yeah, both of their, I don't know if they're holdovers from the old days when the Democrats were in charge and then they saw the writing on the wall and became Republicans. I'm not sure, but both of them are, and it's a shame, and it's time to start primarying.
And you know what? Pick a last name, please. You don't need a hyphen. Come on.
That tells us all we need to know, by
the
way.
Is it Hyde or Smith? Well, exactly. Let's go to the phones here. Mike in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Mike, what's on your mind?
Hey, greetings, Todd. I just wanted to reference, I mean, if you just do a Google search on the United States DOJ not prosecuting the Sinaloa cartel, they've got an agreement with this specific cartel, and if the lady was kidnapped by those members, they're not going after them.
You don't think so? I mean, the president, I mean, he's sending in just, I mean, we're just short of sending in the U.S. military.
If they don't have her by now, these things don't turn out good, sadly. And I prayed for this lady because I hope that she's found, because she obviously has medical issues and she doesn't need to be put through those rigors. But when you talk about these cartels, unfortunately, I mean, look at the movie Made in America, where you had the Mean Arkansas, where the CIA was funneling drugs into this country for years, and nothing was done about it. And the issue over in West Memphis, where the officers were killed by cartel members, and they framed a man and his son and called them sovereign citizens. This whole thing stinks to high heaven. It's just like the pedophile ring. They're not going after the real criminals. They're covering for them. And I'm not saying it's the president. I think that there are people beyond him that are in control, unfortunately. And just like our our favorite Rhino Republican congressman. I mean, he used to be a straight shooter, but now he is controlled. And
all right, well, let's stay focused here. You wanted to talk about Savannah Guthrie's mother. No need to bring the congressman from West Tennessee. I don't know what that has to do with anything. But all right, Mike, got to run. But again, I'm going to give you the final. It's been one of those days.
It's honestly, it is one of those days.
But again, I mean, Mike had a good point here. And if it is, in fact, the cartels, and I saw that movie Made in America, that's one with Tom Cruise. That was insane. And it was all true.
Let me tell you, I'd much rather see our military go after these cartels that are actually killing Americans than go over into the Middle East, Iran, and all those places. I would much rather see them fight the cartels.
I think we do a lot of very bad stuff with good intentions, and then it gets out of control, and, you know, we're screwed.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going on.
I think you're right.
Anyway, but we do need to hope and pray that they find Mrs. Guthrie. What a terrible, terrible story. And, again, we'll keep you updated on the very latest $50,000 reward. All right, Luke Simple, good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million U.S. citizens carry medical debt. But that's not the whole story. With health insurance, your out-of-pocket and monthly costs are way too high. You get surprise bills, denied claims, and poor customer service. That's a serious burden. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. You can enroll at any time and join a proven, faith-based solution that's both reliable and affordable. CHM isn't just help, it's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Families across the country count on CHM to step in during their hardest moments, and it works. Stand up to health insurance with a low-cost, biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, welcome back. Let's get to the phones. I think we can get a call in. Wanda has been holding on for a while in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Hi, Wanda, what's on your mind today?
The immigration.
Yeah, so what do you think President Trump ought to do here, Wanda?
Get rid of all of them. All of them. If they've been here 30 minutes, 30 days, or 30 years, and they've not asked to be a citizenship, and they don't speak English, they need to go. I don't care where they're at.
Isn't it?
And I keep calling all the poor little kids, take the kids with you.
Take the kid with you. Yes, it's very simple, right, Wanda?
Right.
Common sense.
Common sense. I've had enough of this poor little orphan. Because we got, I bet you in Hendersonville, there's 25,000 of them. I picked up a kid at school a few weeks ago, a couple of months ago now. And they were outside playing. Well, then they had to go in, of course, because it was time for us to pick them up. I'm sitting in line. I counted one group of kids that went to one teacher. 26 kids were Mexican.
Wow. In Hendersonville, North Carolina. Wow. All right, Wanda, that music means I've got to scoot out of here. That is shocking. And of all places, Hendersonville. All right. Hang tight, everybody. Hour three of The Big Show coming up next.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
Live from the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Good to have you with us. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So there was a wild, I mean a wild, meeting in the up on Capitol Hill, a hearing, and Scott Bessent was just, man, they were just brutalizing the guy up on Capitol Hill. And Bessent is great. He gives as good as he gets, and it's insane. Maxine Waters going after the guy. It was ugly stuff. And they were all telling the white guy to shut up, and it was really shocking to see some of the testimony. And we're going to play some of that audio, Dylan. If you don't mind, send me an updated cut list, and we'll get to that video in just a little while. But anyway, President Trump. I want to go back to something that happened last night. President Trump doing a sit down interview with NBC News, and they covered a lot of topics, including, believe it or not, Bill Clinton. And the president is really upset that Republicans want Bill Clinton and Hillary to testify on Capitol Hill. Cut number eight.
It bothers me that somebody's going after Bill Clinton. See, I like Bill Clinton. I still like Bill Clinton.
What do you like about him?
I liked his behavior toward me. I thought he got me. He understood me.
So anyway, people are getting a little freaked out here, but keep in mind, I think Bill and Hillary actually came to one of Trump's weddings back in the day. So they have had a friendship. And as Trump used to say, the Democrats used to love him until he ran for office. And then they turned and turned tail and ran is what they did. So anyway, Trump weighing in on that yesterday. The president also announcing that he's going after the Minneapolis mayor, Jacob Frey. Cut 11.
Governor and this horrible fake mayor, Frey, you know, this is the Constitution of the United States. People don't want to be mugged. They don't want to have a murderer living next door that was, you know, killed three people in a certain country and is now living beautifully here. Because generally speaking, if they've killed in another country, they're not going to be the best of citizens. and they're rough people. Remember in the campaign, I used to say that their criminals make our criminals look like babies.
Well, that's true. No doubt about that. And then you've got this congressman, Gregory Meeks. And this guy is a piece of work. He is a congressman from New York's 5th Congressional District. And Mr. Meeks is just an ugly, ugly man, just his entire demeanor. And he's also black. And this is important for what you're about to hear, because I'm just going to say that if a white congressman had treated a black man, a black cabinet secretary, like Meeks did to Scott Bessent, then we would all be talking about, this would be the major national news story. People would be crying racism out the wazoo. That's exactly what would have happened. Take a listen to Cut 17.
I'm not going to ask much of you, Mr. Secretary. I just want to know whether you will commit today to pause and heighten the scrutiny of any bank charter or licensing application at the OCC connected to the World Liberty Financial until all of these conflicts of interest and foreign influence reviews are completed and shared with the United States Congress. All I need to know is, will you halt it and do a complete investigation and scrutiny of this licensing application? The answer is yes or no.
No, Congressman.
You have to ask
the
is
OCC
yes or no.
Is an independent entity, and I would know, Congressman.
I take that as a no.
You traveled to Venezuela
I take that as a no.
For a $7 billion.
I'm asking you to do your responsibility as Secretary of the Treasury.
Into a Venezuelan.
You do not.
Mr. Meeks,
will you?
Time has expired.
You cannot erase what you did in 2006.
He's the one that went past your time, Mr. Chairman.
No, and
he did not answer my question, and he wouldn't pass the time.
He had 6 seconds left to try to answer your question, and
It was a yes or no answer. I asked him, will he? No, was asked yes or no.
The OCC is an independent agency.
Stop covering for the president. Stop being his flunky.
Gentlemen.
He's talking to me. I'm responding back to him.
Your 2006 trip to Venezuela.
Stop covering for the president. Don't be a flunky. Work for the American people.
Mr. Meeks,
trip to Venezuela.
Work for the American people. Don't be a cover-up for a mob.
All right. He said flunky, by the way. Flunky. We had to double-check. So, a couple of things. And again, if a white congressman had acted and behaved that way towards a black member of a cabinet, all you know what would be breaking loose. But I do have one thing to say to Congressman Meeks, who I'm certain must be a well-educated man. The correct pronunciation of the word is secretary, not secretary. No, there is not secretary, it's secretary. There's an R, R, congressman, secretary. See, it's very simple. Not secretary. Yeah, it's secretash secretary. We just try to be helpful. That's all. We're just trying to be helpful. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Super Bowl Sunday, Dylan, and it's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, they're going to say it's going to be a good game, right? You got the Seahawks and the Patriots. And I was just wondering, I don't have much to do this weekend. Right after I wrap up the Young Americas Foundation speech in Nashville, maybe I could catch a direct flight to Los Angeles and catch the big game. It is in L.A., right? Levi Stadium?
Yes.
Or is that correct. In San Francisco? I can't ever remember. It's in California.
Yeah.
So anyway, I thought, you know what? I'll check and see what tickets are. just pop into the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You ready for this?
Yes.
The average Super Bowl ticket, $5,000.
Oh, yeah.
Single ticket.
Yes.
And apparently they're having a hard time selling tickets because the prices are going down. According to Ticketmaster, the average annual Super Bowl ticket resale price ranges from $4,000 to $6,000 before fees. However, as of February the 4th, that was yesterday, the cheapest get-in price for a single ticket has fallen well below $5,000. You see, we were talking about this yesterday. For some reason, there doesn't seem like there's as much buzz about this year's Super Bowl. I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I think, and I've heard some talk about it, there's not really a standout player that people are really rooting for. If you look at both quarterbacks, the Patriots have Drake May, who's like, he's cool to watch, but he's not like anything special right now. He could be in the future. And then Seahawks, I think, have Sam Darnold, who, yeah, it's fine. But I've heard there's not a lot of hype that's going into it. I'll watch it, but I'm not like dying to see it, really.
So they went and USA Today, they were able to run these numbers, the most expensive ticket prices in the history of the Super Bowl. And I'm kind of surprised they're not higher, but here goes. Super Bowl 58, $12,128 per ticket. That was the 49ers versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Okay. Next, Super Bowl 55, $11,000, $840. $11,840. That was Tampa Bay versus the Kansas City Chiefs. And then Super Bowl 56 the following year, $10,322. And that was the LA Rams versus Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah. Those are more exciting games, I would argue, than this one. But, yeah, I mean, those tickets are always going to be super expensive. And the average person, if you're not a diehard fan, probably not going to buy one.
It's in the Bay Area. Why did I think L.A.? It's Levi Stadium. That's in San Francisco.
I had to look it up. I seriously didn't even know what stadium that was.
So. Yeah, again, it's just been – and it's kind of like the Winter Olympics. You know, there used to be like this big, like – big push, big media blitz, yeah. Marketing blitz. I haven't heard anything. It's almost like, oh, wow, okay.
I think they're preparing for a dud, honestly, because this is most people, even like the halftime show is kind of just ruining it for people. So they may not even watch the game because of just the halftime show.
I think what really shocked me is this is number 60. So you would think they would really do it up, you know, in a very nice way.
Seriously. Yeah. But it's like the opposite right now.
Would you pay that ticket price? I mean, for you, what is the like? What is top dollar for you? I would say nothing more than $500.
Yeah, for me, it's probably like $200. Concert tickets are crazy nowadays too. That's a whole different conversation. But for a football game that's like 3 hours long, yeah, $200 to $500.
But hold on, you're paying that much money for a ticket. You're not getting anything free, right? Because you still got to buy your hot dogs and your soft drinks or your beverages or whatever. And I'm telling you, that hot dog's probably going to be $20.
Yeah, exactly. Super Bowl, I think they do it a little bit better with the food. But, yeah, no. You're spending a lot. It's like going to the movies and buying popcorn. You're spending $100.
I'm looking it up right now. We're going to find out. Oh, $30 for a half a dozen oysters.
Oh, my gosh.
Guess how much beer is.
Oh, $8?
$21. Oh. Over $21.
For a single
beer.
Wow.
That's insane.
That's almost more than the meal you just got.
Unbelievable. So, yeah, they're looking at, beers are priced around $21. They've got specialty items like hanger steak with fries. No, if you're at the Super Bowl, you're going to eat either like a burger or a hot dog or, you know, I don't know, maybe you are going to eat a steak.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're at the Super Bowl and you already spent that much money, why not? Eat the steak.
I don't know. Ladies and gentlemen, I would much rather at that point stay home. Are you ready? This is insane. The average fan would spend over $140 just on food.
Yeah.
That's insane.
These people got money to spend. I don't know. I don't know where this money comes from. These people. I mean, if I'm a diehard NFL fan and my team's going to the Super Bowl, I'm still not going. I don't even care if it's next door to me. That's too much money.
So here are, they've just released the menu for like the, for the, the concession stands. Yeah. Gilroy garlic steak frites with fried garlic, a Dungeness crab. What's a patacho? I have no earthly idea. This is all weird. A Super Shucker Hog Island oyster sampler, Chinatown dog. We're assuming that's actually not a dog. That's
they really got close on that one.
Right? I'm just, okay, it is made with pork. Okay, we're good. With sriracha. Oh, it actually looks pretty tasty now that I know it's not fluffy. Impossible Rooftop Cheesesteak. I'm going to be in so much trouble. My friends,
you don't even get hot dogs from China. I don't understand this.
I know the owners of the Royal Panda. I hope they're not listening. I may have just lost my special seat.
Probably.
Rooftop vegan cheesesteak. Oh, that's disgusting. Glazed plant-based meat, caramelized onions, kale, vegan something another, and aioli.
Sounds like the vegan stuff is at the bottom of the menu.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. An LX burger, colossal braised bone-in beef shank on a bun. Ooh, that sounds delicious, actually. So anyway, but you're going to spend probably about $150 just on food.
Yeah.
I'd rather stay home and watch it on the ginormous screen.
Me too.
All right. 901-260-5926, ladies and gentlemen. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Americans have a big healthcare problem. Over 100 million citizens carry medical debt while paying for overpriced and complicated health insurance. As Christians, we don't have to pay for a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. Plus, you can enroll at any time. Stand up to health insurance with a biblical solution. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Interesting story out of Korea, where they are now offering students AI-powered glasses that offer real-time subtitles of Korean lectures. I am fascinated by this story. So I guess as the person is speaking, if you don't understand the language, it'll pop up in your glasses, sort of like, I don't know, a teleprompter or something. As Dylan the lovely Helen said, we may need these AI glasses for the Super Bowl halftime show.
Yeah, instead of buying a ticket to the game, you could just buy the glasses. Mm-hmm. Probably be better off.
Well, you may not want to know what the guy's actually saying. We're talking about Bad Bunny.
Bad Bunny.
Who's going to be singing the halftime show in a foreign language.
And in a dress. So it's a double negative.
Yeah. And he's not shaving his legs from what we understand. That's not going to look good.
Hopefully they'll black out the shades. Maybe you could just see the subtitles on your screen and then just close your eyes.
Could be. We have some breaking news out of Virginia, ladies and gentlemen.
Breaking news now on the Todd Stern Show.
So Virginia Democrats have now announced they are going to move to reconfigure their congressional map. And when it's all said and done, Democrats will have 10 congressional seats in Virginia, and the Republicans will only have one. Currently, Virginia has 6 Democrat seats and 5 Republicans, but the Democrats, who now control everything, much like in the United States where the Republicans control everything, in Virginia, the Democrats control everything, the Senate, the House of Delegates, and the Governor's Mansion, and they are going to move through with a congressional map that will completely destroy the Republican Party. Now, I just want to say something about this because yesterday I had Senator Mike Rounds on from on my Newsmax show from South Dakota. He said, quote, we will not nuke the filibuster. So here's the deal. When Republicans are in charge, we compromise because we want to get along. We don't want to hurt the feelings of the other side. But when the Democrats are in charge, they will go through and ram their agenda down the throats of every American citizen, and they don't care who they offend. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the breaking news. And if this stands, you know what's going to happen? Because the Supreme Court yesterday ruled that California can basically eliminate most of their Republican seats in Congress. We are going to lose the House of Representatives. That's what's about to happen here. So, ladies and gentlemen, what do you want the Senate to do? Do you want them to nuke the filibuster so we can at least get voting integrity back in this country? All right, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Health insurance rates in America are surging, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another up in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. And again, just to reiterate that breaking news from the Commonwealth of Virginia, where the House Speaker, Don Scott, a Democrat, and Senator Louise Lucas, a Democrat, announced they will release the brand new congressional map by the end of the day or early tomorrow. And that map will take away most of the Republican districts. The new map will give Democrats 10 seats in Congress and one Republican seat in Congress. So they're eliminating, right now it's five. The Republicans have five seats. They'll only have one. Now here's the problem. Indiana, rock solid red state. The Republicans there refuse to redistrict. They refuse. It's just not the right thing to do. Same thing in Tennessee, where we've got one Democrat seat. Why, it's just, that's not the way that we play politics here, Todd. That's just wrong. The Democrats deserve at least one seat, right? WWJD. Jesus would throw Steve Cohen out of Memphis. That's what he would do. Well, I really don't know, but I would like to think he would. None of us knows. None of us speak for our Lord. So anyway, they're not going to do it. They're not going to do it. And I'm telling you that we are setting the stage, even if it was already going to be a tough slog to maintain control. By the way, Congressman Barry Loudermilk out of Georgia became the 29th Republican to announce he's not going to run for Congress. Come on, folks. What is going on up there? So anyway, you folks in Virginia, I feel for you because the Democrats, they're playing hardball. And I really wish the Republicans would do that. I wish the Trump administration would start living up to some of these promises they're making. Why haven't we dismantled the Department of Education? Today, you've got even more schools where the kids are running out. They're launching these protests. The teachers are encouraging all of this nonsense. It's all going to come back and bite us in the behind. I've got this great new book coming out later this year. You're going to love it. And it's such an encouraging thing, talking about all the great successes of the Trump administration. But at the very end of the book, there is a chapter, a prologue, warning people that we could lose all of this if we do not follow through. And the linchpin in all of this is our nation's education system. That's ultimately what's going to lead to our demise, to the fall of this great nation. And we can't let that happen. We just cannot let that happen. And then this whole situation with the, and it's really an unforced error with the immigration and the backtracking on the immigration issue. I mean, my word. It's just insane. 901-260-5926. So now you've got Megyn Kelly. She sat down with J.D. Vance, the vice president, and here's what they had to say about the illegal immigration issue. Cut 18.
The right, I think, wants all illegals
of
gone.
Course.
And actually, right, can we stop for a moment? Stop. What did she mean by that? And by the way, Megyn Kelly is no conservative, all right? I just want you to hear me on that. But what does she mean by the right? As if that's some sort of an extremist position. I mean, based on all the polling data out there, that is the mainstream position here. We all want the illegals to... All right, go continue.
The right, I think, wants all illegals
of
gone.
Of course.
And actually, the polls show that the majority of the American people still want that.
Yes.
They want all the illegals gone, not just the ones who have committed additional crimes upon getting here. And I think a lot of us are wondering, what is the plan for getting them? Because it seems that the left has effectively exercised its veto by its terrible behavior in Minneapolis, such to, you know, Homan is very focused on getting the illegals out. All of the reforms he's announcing are with respect to getting the illegals who have committed additional crimes and notification of them before they leave the local jails, which would be great. That would be a compromise of sanctuary city policy there.
Yep.
We don't yet have an agreement on that in Minneapolis, which is the biggest area. Maybe we'll get it. But the point is simply, what about all the others?
Yeah. So I kind of like that our side is so insistent on this issue. I like the pressure. I like people saying, we recognize you've done a lot, now do more. I think that's kind of how this should work, is that fundamentally, you know, the president and I and the entire administration, we work for the American people. And so I hear these complaints. I hear these criticisms. I guess I'd say a couple things. So first of all, again, you have an entire legal landscape, but also a deportation enforcement mechanism. All of these additional ICE officers that we brought in as part of the One Big Beautiful Bill. That's getting online now.
But so they're not going to Minneapolis.
Well, some of them will. Some of them
Homan just
will.
Announced a drawdown of 700
so
troops out there.
Homan announced a partial drawdown, but because the local authorities are cooperating with him. And this is why it's important to segregate. What are we talking about, immigration enforcement or everything else? We're not drawing down immigration enforcement. We're drawing down some of the federal officers that were helping the guys doing immigration enforcement. And this is what I think, frankly, the far left and also some of our guys on the right didn't fully appreciate. When Homan says we're drawing 700 people down, those are the people who were protecting the ICE officers as they went out and did deportations and immigration enforcement. Most of the people that we have in Minneapolis, they're not doing immigration enforcement. That's true even after the 700 drawdown. Most of them are protecting the immigration officers from the mob that's forming around them. So as we get more and more cooperation from Minneapolis and from the state of Minnesota, and we are starting to get real cooperation from them in a way that we haven't, we don't want people there doing effectively police work so that they can protect our immigration
right.
officers. We want the immigration officers to go and do their work, and if they get into a problem, they can call local police. As that happens, I think you're going to see some of that law enforcement shifting to the local police, which is exactly what we wanted.
All right, so there you go. I you know, it's almost word salad these days, folks. Look, here's President Trump, and this was from the NBC News piece, and it was an interesting question that the president had, and this is really the shift, all right? So this is where when we look back on this administration, this is the moment that things changed when it came to the illegal issue. Cut 16.
I have a question about immigration still looking forward now. Your goal during the election was to deport everyone who came here illegally under President Biden. Is your mission now to deport everyone who came in illegally or just people who have come in illegally who have also committed additional crimes?
We are totally focused on criminals, really bad criminals. Now, you could say people that came in illegally are criminals, but I'm talking about murderers from different countries. We have 11,888 murderers that Biden and his group led into our country. We've captured a lot of them. We've brought some of them back. A lot of them we don't want to bring back because we don't trust the country that they're not sent back again.
Yeah.
Despite how strong the borders are, they'll figure a way to try and get in, and we don't want to, and we'll incarcerate them. But 11,888 murderers.
Yeah.
We are after those people. We're after the drug dealers.
Right.
By the way, a big problem, they allowed to come into our country people from their mental institutions, people from insane asylums that are mentally ill and very dangerous. We're getting them
right.
out.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. And, I mean, you heard the president say that they're going to be going after the really bad criminals. Now, let me just say this, and if Tom Holman had not been shoved aside, I think this would be a different story now. Because originally that was the plan, to go after the really, really bad people and then everybody else. But that's not what happened. And it's become a huge mess, and it's become a political, at least the president thinks it's a political liability for him and for the Republicans. So the question, ladies and gentlemen, we asked us in the first hour of the program, is what do you want the president to do here? What do you want? Do you want all of the illegals gone, or are you okay with the illegals who've been here 20, 30 years sticking around? Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Health insurance rates in America are surging, leaving millions without affordable options. But Christians don't need to waste money on a broken system. Christian Healthcare Ministries is an alternative to health insurance at half the cost. With CHM, fellow believers contribute monthly to help pay each other's medical bills while lifting one another up in prayer. It's financial and spiritual support when you need it most. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/wellness. That's chministries.org/wellness.
All right, listen up, all of you listeners in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Greensboro, North Carolina, High Point, North Carolina. That's WSJS territory, by the way. Great people in that area of the country. You guys have a massive responsibility that has just landed at your local Chick-fil-A restaurant. You folks in all three of those cities and points around WSJS, you have been selected to test market a brand new Chick-fil-A sandwich. Dylan, I hope they understand the great power and responsibility they have just been bestowed with.
Yeah, seriously, I'm baffled right now.
They're going to be sampling something that's going to be called a sweet chili lime crunch sandwich. Mm. Now, you have your traditional breaded breast tucked between hot buttered buns.
Yummy.
And then the chicken is topped with ginger lime cool crunch. Now you may say, what is ginger lime cool crunch?
Yeah, I'm wondering.
You have to say that. What is
ginger lime
cool crunch? Thank you. Well, I was going to answer the question. It's made with cabbage, kale, ginger lime dressing, and drizzled with a sweet chili sauce for a sweet and spicy finish.
All right, they can have it.
I just got a little throw up in my throat there just reading it. They lost me at kale.
Yeah, you guys have a lot of fun trying that.
Uh-huh. Wow. The price, $6.15 for original, $6.55 for spicy, and $7 for grilled. Why is the grilled is more expensive? Right? Because that's just like the chicken. It's not like you got the breading and everything.
It's less ingredients.
And the oil.
Yeah.
I'm just telling you.
Valid question.
I'm not too sure about that. But anyway, you folks in North Carolina, you've got a responsibility now. Do not let us down. Do not let us down. All right, let's go to the phones here. 901-260-5926. Say hello to Melissa in Texas. Hi, Melissa. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking, Melissa.
You're welcome. So the reason for my call is right before you went to break, you said, do we need all the illegals to go, even those that have been here forever and a day, or just the ones more recently? In my opinion, I feel like they all need to go. If you're illegal, you're illegal. My sister-in-law's from Mexico. She did it the right way, got her papers, took the test, did everything she was supposed to do to be here, and now she feels like it's unfair that there are those here illegally and not doing what she had to do to make it right. So I think they all need to go if they're illegal.
Melissa, I know we've had several calls from Texas today on the show, and I'm just wondering, I mean, you guys, you know, at least from our vantage point, it looks like you guys have really been dealing with the struggles of having so many illegals in your city.
Correct, because we've got literally the Gulf right here, practically on top of us, at least where we live here in Houston, and they're coming in from all points you can think of, in every which way you can think that they're getting here. So
when you when you look at what President Trump is doing now, and it clearly he's starting to go soft. As a matter of fact, there was another line, there was another quote. I don't have time to play it, but the president said that he was looking at going a little bit softer. Is that the right thing to do?
No, definitely not.
All right, Melissa, thank you for that call. And I think a lot of folks feel like you do. And I know the polling data backs all of this up, which is why it's even more mind-boggling. Let's go to Bob in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Bob. What say you?
Hey, Tom. Thank you for taking my call, Todd. I want to say that we should deport all illegals, especially those who came during Biden administration. And those remaining, they don't get any health care or free education. And if you turn up the faucets, I think they'll self-deport.
Yeah, and by the way, a lot of people have self-deported, and I know that we're spending a lot of tax money, you know, flying these people. I think we're giving them a check and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, look, I have problems with it, but okay, fine. As long as we're getting them out of the country so they don't cost us more money. But I don't think that's going to last much longer. And, Bob, my concern is we're going to have members of Congress on the Republican side of the aisle calling for full-blown amnesty.
Yep, that's the problem.
Okay. Bob, God bless you. Thank you for listening to KWAM. Now, Dylan, we went from Chick-fil-A to Florida, where apparently there's something called an iguana pizza.
Okay.
You know, like the lizard creatures?
Yes, the giant lizards.
So here's the problem. So it is, it's cold in Florida, like really cold. And when it gets really cold, the iguanas, they like, cinch up, right? They freeze. And they're like paralyzed.
I thought it was never cold in Florida, but here's news to me, I guess.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. And so anyway, then the iguanas are so, they're like paralyzed by the cold, so they fall out of the trees.
Oh.
And then, like, local hunters go, and they scoop up the frozen reptiles. And they're turning it into, I'm not kidding you, this is CBS News reporting. So they're turning it into pizza. A local trapper kept a few of the reptiles and turned them into what he calls the Florida Man Pizza, topped with freshly harvested iguana meat.
Okay, so the bodies of the iguanas are not the base of the pizza?
No, what's inside the skin is.
Okay, all right.
They're killing the iguanas.
Yeah.
And the poor iguana doesn't even have a fighting chance.
Yeah.
They're paralyzed.
I mean, the hunters, they got to be so lazy. They're not even hunting them.
Exactly. This is like the equivalent of going deer hunting with the headlights on your pickup truck.
Exactly.
Right? I'm not sure where's the sport in this.
Yeah, that's cheating. I don't know. Maybe I'll try
it. Poor little iguana just looking at us like, no, don't eat me.
Would you eat an iguana on a pizza?
Hell no.
Okay.
Yeah, me either. Are you kidding me?
Depends on how cooked it is.
I wouldn't even eat grilled chicken on a pizza. It doesn't belong there.
Well, that's a take.
No, Jesus didn't want. Look, it's pepperoni, sausage, and ground beef.
Okay. That's just like bread. That's cheesy bread.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. That's your opinion. That's okay.
Are you a chicken guy?
I'm not opposed to a chicken.
What about pineapple? Please tell me.
No, please. Right, that should be illegal. Jail time for that.
Yeah.
But
that's an alphabet activist issue.
Absolutely. Those people wear flip-flops.
It tastes like a flip-flop. Yeah. So anyway, there's a local pizza joint in North Palm Beach, Florida called Buck's Coal Fired. They said, we were able to do good work and remove the iguanas and educate people, and it was just a great time. Oh, God, this is terrible. While the iguanas provided unexpected entertainment and even a meal, tourists escaped frigid northern temps, and they're not getting the warm beach days they had hoped for. You know, that is bad. You're from Detroit. You go down to Florida for some fun and sun, and the next thing you know, it's 30 degrees and iguanas are falling out of the trees. Kind of like the apocalypse. One of the tourists said, you know, we had a pizza, but we had to have a beverage or two. Probably should have made that three. But they don't say what it tastes like. That's what bothers me about the reporters these days. Nobody's, I guarantee you, it tasted like chicken.
Mm. Probably not, because they're not talking about it too highly right now. Frozen iguanas.
Frozen iguanas. Just plopped right down on the pizza. All right, 5 o'clock, folks. The Todd Stern Show, Newsmax 2. We will be back here noon o'clock tomorrow, so be sure to hang out with us. Open line Friday, whatever you want to talk about, so get those questions going. Get out there and have a good one, everybody.